You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as it's a Wednesday, as always, I speak to Skulk Lowe, who is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. Now, before we get on to this splendid day on the market, Skulk, I have to say that I didn't appreciate the nasty comments you made about a particular sporting event on Saturday. You know, I'm just saying it was completely unnecessary, and I won't say anything about it in the future. And I certainly won't lower myself to doing the same thing in future should the team that I support prevail against the team that you support in that particular, you know, sport, as they call it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to be as kind, so I'm just going to say go the Booker, man. Go the Booker. I mean, stuff. I actually said it on Saturday. You know, stuff Bruce Lee. You know, we've got Kurt Lee. I mean, that guy's twinkle-toed around. You guys.
Yeah, well, you
but
see.
But anyway, like you said, let's not rub it in.
England went downhill when they got an Australian coach. Let's face it. Eddie Jones should not be managing, coaching England. And I will not embellish the point anymore. Now then, what a day on the JSC. What on earth happened, Skulk?
Wow.
I mean, extraordinary. Yeah,
It's been a wonderful day, and it's one of those days we can't just say, I mean, it's been a resource day, but I mean, it wasn't just a resource day. It was just a fabulous day, you know, overall. You know, clearly, you know, some upbeat and, you know, towards the emerging markets, because we're not seeing this similar movement, you know, coming from the US, and we'll chat about that in a few minutes time.
Yes,
but yeah, resources had a lovely day. But I mean, also industrials, I mean, look at Naspers process for today. I mean, that's massive movement, and naturally very, very, very good for the, you know, the South African market. And you know, we just chatted about that, you know, off air. You know, in literally a few hours' time, it will officially be December. How did 2022 just fly by?
I can't remember anything about 2022. I thought, well, actually, I'm going to get into the year quite soon. And suddenly, I looked at my calendar, and I was thinking, it's the 31st of November tomorrow. And then I thought, oh, wait a second, there's only 30 days in November. Suddenly it's December. And my email, as I said to somebody else earlier on, my email feed has slowed to a trickle. Nobody wants to speak to me. I phone people up and say, should we have an interview about this? They say, oh, no, I can't be bothered. I'm so tired. I'm so bored of all this stuff. I don't know if you're finding the same. Maybe in the private client and institutional client business that you're in, you don't get that at this time of year. In fact, you probably get more inquiries at this time of year. But I don't. People are fed up, Skulk.
Yeah, when markets react the way it's currently doing, you know, I actually foresee, and you know, Lindsay, I'm going to be sharing this year first, and you know, tonight, you know, I'll share this for all the listeners out there. They can go on my Twitter feed at Skulk Lowe, but I will share it, you know, on Strictly Business podcast.
Thank you.
One of my articles aired today, you know, on News 24. It's the one I actually call it the Santa Claus, you know, maybe coming to the JSE, but we're still in November officially today, so I don't know if my article will officially count today, but I'll take it. But I mean, it's an article where I just have fun with the JSE. I looked at the Decembers, you know, over the past 60 years, so to be exact, you know, I took it from 1962. And I literally just took all 60, and including December 1962, and I just looked at every single December, and just to get an idea, you know, of what percentage, you know, December's usually positive, and how it actually fits in with the whole year, you know, of that specific year. It's astonishing. I mean, the data, and again, I just want to tell all the listeners, please. I mean, past performances, it's not a guarantee of what's going to happen next, and blah blah blah. This time can be different,
yeah.
You know, but it was extremely interesting when you look at December. It's sort of a, you mentioned the people in a lull, or they're tired in November. But as tired they usually, you know, on the, in November's, you know, as upbeat, people are sort of, you know, excited. They need to end the year off. You know, I know liquidity is usually, you know, a thing. This is, you know, a lot of people are sitting either at beaches in your neck of the woods. They go to some, you know, ski resort. But I looked at this. And, you know, I was actually, you want to take a guess, you know, what percentage of Decembers were actually, you know, positive over the past 60 years?
Given what you've just said, I would say probably 73% have been positive.
Well, how crazy is that? Lindsay, I think we should go and gamble tonight. I mean,
what was the percentage?
72%.
No, you can't be serious. Oh, well done, Lindsay.
Yeah, 100%. And just for the listeners out there, you did not see my article. I did not prep him, you know, before the time. It's, you know, literally 17 out of the 60 Decembers we've had over the past 60 years, we've been negative. So effectively, yeah. 72%. But it actually gets more fascinating. You know, when you look at the average return, you know, for this period, you know, when you look at you know, the average annual return, you know, for the JSE excluding dividends, was you know, just shy of 12% per annum, 11.7% per annum to be exact. 28% of the total return of this 11.7% came out of December's alone.
Goodness me.
Now I want you to think about that as a listener. I mean, it basically tells you that if you decided, very similar to where we're sitting now, I mean, you know, we've had a very good, let's call it 2 months, and we became out of a crash environment earlier this year. And I had that similar feeling, you know, back in 2003, where we had the very negative environment between April 2002 and April 2003. And then suddenly we had a few good months, and the market sort of rallied 15% from those lows. And I can still recall people saying that December, oh, maybe it's time now to take some profit. You know, let's just take some profit. Let's go to the beach or the ski resort. And man, oh man, did those December surprise as well. So I think that the message out there, you know, for listeners is not to try and, you know, time the market and say, well, you know, let's go. I mean, we're going all in for December. That's not the message. The message is, you know, try to stay in for the longer haul. It just shows you, if you want to time the market and you only missed 1 month, you literally only miss the Decembers over the past 60 years, you lost, you know, let's call it 28% of your return.
That's that old saying, it's not timing the market, it's time in the market. Mm. It's the same
That's
thing.
It. Big old cliche. But as I mentioned, I will share this. This will be shared first on Strictly Business. For all the listeners out there that want to go read this article, I will share this and you can have a look.
We feel very privileged and well done and good observations. Scott, the other thing is, there is November the 30th, the last day of November. Is it a month-end thing? People say, okay, I am now closing up the book because I want the letter to come through the letterbox to my well-valued client and it's going to look pretty good. So you goose up the market on November the 30th. Because I'm looking at other markets here, and I've got the S&P is flat, the Nasdaq's up a bit, the FTSE was up, but it's sort of mixed. The JSE Securities Exchange, a massive outperformer, with the top 40, for example, up, you know, about 2.75%. Is it goosing up at the end of the month, do you think?
Well, let's give the ending, you know, in the beginning, because we still got the rest of the podcast to go. And usually we end off this podcast where we mention the movement in the market. We're not going to look at that now. We'll chat about that later. But then we look at the value traded in the market. And just to give you some background, in the previous 5 days, we've seen a average value trade in the market of below 16 billion. So we haven't surpassed, you know, a 20 billion day for the previous five. Today, we had a whopping, we've just gone over 35 billion value traded. You know,
no, 35 billion. So it's double the average on day three of the week. Okay. Is it MSCI rejigging? Is it an index problem? Or not problem, but index factor that's gone on here? Or is it the end of the month, as I said in my original question to you? Please tell me why it's 35 billion today.
No, I don't think it's a let's call it a end of the month thing, because I mean it is November, so it's not end of the quarter. There could be some some portfolio moves usually, but I mean, would that, you know, turn the needle as much as it did? You know, value traded. We're going to chat about that, but we've seen a very solid day, you know, in terms of commodities. You know, gold up over 1%, silver up 2%, platinum up over 2%, palladium up, you know, over 1.4%. So it's a massive, you know, commodity trading day. And as you know, we always refer to it, we are, you know, one of the biggest, you know, commodity producing countries in the world. We also know that we are a very much a value play. And I know a lot of, you know, naysayers in terms of Africa, you know, don't like to hear that and say, you know, you're always referred to us as value and you know, watch out for the value trap. I mean, I'm not going to have that conversation. All that I'm saying is that when you got portfolio moves that move from countries that still perceived to be sort of a little bit overvalued, or, you know, and they're looking for value seekers, very similar to that period between, as I again referred to, 2003 to 2008. You know, these type of movements that you've seen today wasn't an uncommon thing. It was actually, you know, fairly common, you know, in that 5-year period. Will history repeat itself? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, but, you know, I do say that I think, you know, a lot of the movement we've had today was, you know, firstly, you know, we do see China now slowly but surely, you know, having the conversation, you know, about maybe we should look at relaxing, you know, COVID restrictions. We know that the economy is definitely under pressure, and they've already started to say, well, we're going to look at doing some sort of stimulus. Yeah, you know what? Maybe that's the case. If I look at the big industrial movers on the JSE today, as I, you know, referred to, you know, Naspers up over 6%. You know, when you look at Richemont, I mean, even Richemont up, you know, 3% for today. That's very much the, let's call it the China play on the JSE. Yeah. And you mix into that the resources, you know, as I alluded to earlier. Yeah, I think that'll be more your answer than just it's end of the month.
Okay, so what someone does at a desk in London or Frankfurt or New York or wherever it is, they say, okay, we suddenly like resources. We like resources in US dollar terms as a physical commodity. We like resources stocks. South Africa, Australia, other places are resource producers, and therefore we look at the valuations, they're undervalued. Yeah. Yep. Historically, and they press the yes button, the green button, they press the buy button, and they go for it. Maybe it's just one of those days, because I'm suspicious of 35 billion versus 16 billion Skulk. I mean, I'm a naturally suspicious person. So
no, that's a massive movement. That's not your typical day. I mean, nice. When we look at the past, you know, past 5 years, we've had an average daily trade of around about, well, just shy of 21 billion value traded for today. You know, that's a very, very solid move. I mean, you know, compared to the average value trade, that's 15, you know, more than 15 billion, you know, traded, you know, through the market today alone. So yeah, I think that's there's definitely something, you know, special. But I think your example that you've given some, you know, London traders, you know, buying, I think that could be one of the biggest reasons. Yes.
Yes, it is, and maybe they get it all out of the way because it's a tiny part of their portfolio. Let's have a look at the JSE Securities Exchange and the market capitalization of the JSE Securities Exchange. It's an important part, but a relatively small part of their world. So they press a button, they don't care whether they're buying something at 100 or 103. They just buy it and then get it out the way and move on to other things the next day. Again, that's cynical, suspicious me. Who was the before? I know we always do the markets at the end and which stocks have gone up and gone down and value traded and all that stuff. But what was the biggest value traded individual stock wise today?
Well, I'm going to need to take a guess here. I would say, looking at Naspers, seeing that it's such a big part of our JSE, yeah. I would tend to think that between Naspers and Prosus, I think that will be most probably the biggest value traded. I mean, you're not going to see Naspers and Prosus move, you know, 6%, and you won't see, you know, massive volume go through the market. So yeah, I don't have the figures in front of me, but my guesstimate will be between Naspers and Prosus.
Okay, well, you'll do a little bit of a button pushing.
Because remember, yeah. Why am I saying that? Why am I saying that as well? Remember, you know, when you look at when you look at Richemont, Richemont's got a primary listing in Switzerland. Prosus got their primary listing in Amsterdam, but Naspers actually still got their primary listing in South Africa. So you effectively, you know, what I'm saying that is when somebody suddenly, you know, Naspers hits the radar, you know, some international investor or local investor, it doesn't matter, you know, it'll go through the JSE. So yeah, I think that might be one of the big reasons.
Yeah, there's something fishy going on, Skunk, I'm telling you. I can smell a fish when I can smell it. Let's have a look at these spot prices now, according to my screen. The Rand has changed its big figure again from 17 to 16. It's currently 16.98 against the US dollar. The British pound against the Rand is 20.29. The Euro Rand is 17.56. The Euro dollar is 103.50. The British pound against the US dollar is 119.50. On to commodities now, which we've been speaking about. The gold price is this correct? Yeah, it's up. No, you said it was up 1%. I've only got it up a third of a percent, 17.52, Skulk. Is that correct?
No, it's actually trading a little bit higher now.
No, because you said 1%, and I know you're very close to gold, and quite rightly so. But I've only got it up $6, 17.52. What have you got there?
No. I've also got it at 17.52, but it depends on, you know, what close.
Yeah, when the closing price was. Okay, so we got the correct price. Okay, good. Platinum up $37.50 to $1,037. The palladium price is $18.70, which is up about $9, only half a percent. So a little bit of a laggard today. Looking at other commodities, interesting. I've got the all-important oil prices. West Texas above 80 again, 80.56, up just over 3%. Very good, if you like that sort of thing. Brent crude oil, $85.50, up 3%. Natural gas prices down 1.5%. And if you go down the list, iron ore's up over $101.50 per ton. And what else have we got? Coal up 0.5% to $350 per ton. But generally in the green for commodities. And that could be the reason that the green button was pressed on the JSE desks of emerging market traders. The South African 10-year bond yield, 10.27%, around about 4 basis points higher. The US 10-year Treasury yield, 3.79%, which is about 5 basis points higher. I think there's a commodity story there. S&P 500 futures, suddenly getting a little bit of selling coming in here, down nearly 0.3% to 3,951, Skulk. So anything else? Before we get on to the individual movers on the JSE, and obviously the big ones that you're talking about, Naspers, Prosus, and also Anglo-American Platinum, I see at the top of the list as well. Any smaller, medium companies that have snuck in outside of my screen that have interested you?
No, I think there was no. I mean, I can't really, you know, exclude any specific company. I think Spar is maybe one, you know, in a day like today where you know we've had, you know, quite a movement to the upward, you know, and to end your day down, you know, close to 3% in a day where the market, you know, moved up, you know, well over 2%. You know, that begs, you know, quite a few questions. I've seen, you know, on social media, there's been quite a few things that flies around. We know the results went, you know, the best a week or so ago. But I mean, that's always a worrying factor. You know, when you look at a movement, you know, that excessive. You know, when we look at news in the market today, it was quiet. You know, company wise, only two companies that really said anything is Fairvest, not a company that I'm really following.
No,
I think the only thing that I liked about what they say, it's not specifically the company, is where they actually just mentioned that the retail property, or let's call it the retailers are definitely, you know, looking a lot healthier. They talked about that the recovery in this SA retail sector continued. The industrial portfolio is strong and rising demand for large multiple parks. And then they just go on. But I think the one thing that I did like is when you look at the vacancies, which is sort of a general trend. What we've seen, you know, when Growthpoint announced, you know, a lot of these local properties, you know, they mentioned how their vacancies narrowed you know, under 50 basis points to 5.9%, you know, after peaking, you know, earlier this year about 8%. That's a good thing. That just shows you that these local property stocks are definitely looking a lot better. Prices don't really reflect that. I mean, they're not even close to trading at levels where they trade at, let's call it, pre-COVID levels. And again, as I, you know, often said on this this podcast, maybe just something you need to put on your radar. And I'm not talking about Fairways. I'm just talking about local property stocks. It's been under pressure. Yes, we've seen some retracement lately, but as I mentioned, not really trading back to pre-COVID levels. And then just Santam brought out a trading update. I'm not going to go into the trading update. I think the most important thing about the trading update for the 10 months ended 31st of October. They just mentioned that the premium, gross written premium growth of 8%, and you know I went through the trading update. It looked a little bit, you know, not, I wouldn't say upbeat, but definitely a lot better than we've seen from short term insurance over the last 2 years. So definitely a little bit better. And well, the share price definitely loved it as well. You know, again, we didn't see a 3% there, but at least 1.3% tells me that shareholders of Santam didn't, you know, dislike the trading update.
Okay. On the upside, on the JSE today, according to my screen, Naspers, the aforementioned, up 6.1%. Anglo American Platinum up just under 6%. Prosus up just under 5%. Northern Platinum 4.4% nearly higher. And Impala Platinum up nearly 4.1%. On the downside, the data tech. Sorry, tell me about the data tech story, because it's down nearly 29% on the day. What is that?
Yeah, that's an easy one. That is a special dividend. The special dividend was $12.50. So I mean, okay. I wouldn't. Not a you know, normal move.
No, it's not a normal move. And then I got
91 as well, because a lot of people refer to 91s in a downward movement of 1.30 today. I mean, they had a 1.32 dividend that they also, you know, they ex-diff. So, you know, for the Vodacom shareholders today that might be disappointed, you also had an ex-diff story there, so nothing to worry.
Okay, the other ones, Montauk Renewables, Textainer, Vukile, they came out with numbers. And on the downside as well, 3.4% down for 91. Is that also an ex-div story, because their results came out last week?
That's it. This ex-div today, it's also 1.32 dividend per share.
Give us the closing JSE indices on this really, really good day for us.
Okay, so I'm going to enjoy saying this. You know, JSE closed today up 2.32%.
There we go.
24,828. Who would have thought? You know, I know it's quite a way to go still to 80,000, but who would have thought we were actually getting closer and closer towards the 80,000? And yeah, maybe with that Santa Claus rally, maybe we can get there. But as I mentioned, 74,828 points for the JSE. What a day. Resources, wonderful day, 2.9% up. While industrials also had a great day, 2.75% in the green. Financials up 1.73%, and local property stocks were unchanged. For all the JSE top 40 holders, the top 40 closed at 68,564 points. That was up 2.62%. And as mentioned, let's give the final figure. The value traded on the JSE today was $35.33 billion.
I'm suspicious. And it'll come out in the wash, I can tell you. It's going to come out in the wash, what happened today. What you have to do now is look at the all shares, let's call it 75,000. Let's have a look at the top 40 index, 68,500. What are the all-time highs on both the all share and the top 40, please? And I'll talk over you while you're looking that up, because I know you can look it up. What has been the all-time high on the all share in rand terms, please? Given that it closed at 74,828 today, tell me, please.
Let me bring this up.
Really know it. I mean, as an investment professional, you should know this. But that's just me. I'm a numbers person.
So as a numbers person, where would you say that all share, you know, was all time high?
76,211, baby.
Not getting it.
He's pausing. Big game tonight. Yeah, Argentina against Poland. Yeah, Lewandowski versus Messi. Of course, we want Messi to win and prevail, and he will do. At the moment, we've got Tunisia against France, Mbappe on the bench. And the other one, the big one, is the knockout, almost like a knockout. And it's Australia versus Denmark. Both of those last two games that I mentioned are at the same time, simultaneously, so naughty people can't manipulate the games. So there we are. Have you found these numbers yet, Skalk? I've done my bit.
Yeah, I can see. Sorry, I'm looking on a graph here, and it seems like 77,300 and well, let's call it 91 points. 77,391 points, and that was the 3rd of March this year. So that's when
so 2,500 points away from new territory, which is fantastic.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Who would have thought that? Goodness me!
That is crazy. I mean, and remember we had a crash year. I mean, you can paint it pretty and call it whatever you want. But I mean, we had a crash year. And currently, as we stand, the JSE, you know, that's not the total return. When you look at the JSE, we now in 4% positive territory. You know, when we look at the total return, let's quickly have a look at that. Yeah, total return now is over 5%. Well, close to 6%. 6%. You know, total return for the JSE in a year that we've seen. So,
and inflation is 7.6%. So you're losing money for your clients, or not you, but people are potentially losing money for their clients. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, correct. But you know, naturally, you need to look at it. The year's not over, and interest rates are much higher.
No, there's another 31 days to go.
There's another 31 days to go, and it's, historically it's been a big one. So let's hold thumbs. Let's hope we have another Santa Claus ready.
I hope so. I look forward to your article on News 24. Skalk Lowe, where can we find that article, by the way, Skalk, please?
It's a News 24 article. I just typed in News 24 on the business side, but as I mentioned, I will share it here.
Yeah.
So then people can actually just go and click on at Strictly Business. Bots, and then they can either read it through your handle or my handle. We'll get it there.
Thank you very much, Skalk. Excellent analysis as always. Skalk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors, and do not reflect the policy position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.